Good evening and welcome along to another episode of The Score here on Highland Radio. It's Mark Gallagher with you right through until 8 o'clock. Tonight on the programme in Gaelic Games, we're going to look ahead to the Ulster Club action for Donegal Clubs this weekend. We're going to hear from the managers of St Junan's, Terman and Niamh Patrick Muff, who all begin their provincial campaigns on Saturday. In soccer, we'll be speaking to Paddy Molloy ahead of what is a big weekend for Fintown Harps as they prepare to take on Fannin United in the Ulster Junior Cup. But firstly, we'll focus on SSE Airtricity League of Ireland football and more specifically the Premier Division title race. Mark Coyle could become the first Donegal man to lead a side to the League of Ireland Premier Division title tomorrow night. The Burt native Captain Shelburne as they travel to the Ryan McBride Brandywell to face Derry City, knowing that a win will give the Dublin Cup their first title since 2006. However, Shamrock Rovers are still firmly in the mix to retain their status as champions for another year. They're actually going for five titles in a row. Should Derry get either a draw or a win at home to Shells, a Shamrock Rovers victory over Waterford would be enough for the reigning champions to be crowned SSE Airtricity League Premier Division champions once again. Speaking to Aidan Fitzmaurice of the Sunday Independent, here's Oisin Kelly.
Aidan, you're welcome back to Highland. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, Oisin. Good form.
Listen, we're into the decisive Friday night in the Premier Division title. Shelburne have to win at the Brandywell against Derry. They'll be champions. Shamrock Rovers, who really have come up through the field over the last number of months, need to win their final game and hope Shelburne either draw or lose and Rovers will retain that title. Is there a twist yet in this saga before we get the final whistle in these matches, Aidan?
I think we trying to predict this season has been crazy. I mean, Shells looked like they had it won at the halfway point. Rovers were gone. I think they were 12 points. So I think if it said at that stage when Rovers were 12 points off that they'd be in it on the last day, it would have been ridiculous. So being predictable is very hard. The outside factors, I think, very much the focus is on Shells and Rovers and what they do. I was at a press conference with Stephen Bradley this morning, and you know I'll be talking to Damien Duff later on, but it's very much on what they do. But you have to factor in the other teams. You have to factor in Derry City and Waterford, and you could have a situation where it's going Shamrock Rovers' way up in Derry, that Derry are doing the business, and Shamrock Rovers all of a sudden, Paddy Gammon has had one of his nights, and Shamrock Rovers are behind at home to Waterford. So any of those things could happen. It's been a nervous season. It's been very unpredictable. So I think all those things have to be factored in. Their focus is just going to be in winning. They can't focus. Shamrock Rovers know it's out of their hands. They could win 7-0 and they're relying on what happens in Derry. Shells don't want to be in that situation. So Shells will just go out and win. So I think that'll be very much their manager's approach. There's no point in trying to get updates or everything else for the two of them, for Damien Duff and Stephen Bradley. Just go out and win the game.
Yeah, but from Derry City's point of view, that was a real hammer blow to them, that defeat in Pats last week, where it ended their any hopes that they had of winning the title. But there was results numerous weeks before that probably were the telling point in Derry not being involved in the mix on Friday.
No, they weren't, and it was there for them because Shelburne were dropping points and Shamrock Rovers were A, dropping points and B, involved in Europe. There really was a scope there for Derry to come in and to steal it off Shelburne, and they weren't good enough to do it. And Rory Higgins was honest enough after the Pats game. He wasn't. He said it wasn't. They didn't lose the league in Richmond Park last Friday. They lost it at various stages over the season. They will look back. I think there'll be a lot of introspection at the end of the season, on and off the field. I think Rory Higgins has already mentioned the pitch at the Brandywell. I think they're going to have to look at that in the injuries. Shamrock Rovers have already said they've had a lot of injuries as well. They missed key people for long spells. And I think a lot of clubs are going to be, next season, I think obviously players are going to sign, managers are going to sign new players, managers are going to move, but I think there will be a lot of research into what went wrong off the field. Would Derry have been better if they'd been playing on grass all year, maybe? If the training schemes, regimes have been tweaked for a couple of the clubs, would they have been better? And how come Shelburne just had that dip in the middle? Really, they weren't the same after losing Gavin Molloy, so I think there will be an awful lot of introspection. But I think for Derry, there really was there to be won. They were out of Europe, but Shamrock Rovers had that competing in Europe. The pressure wasn't on. Derry were kind of coming from behind because Shelburne were the leaders and Derry weren't strong enough to capitalise, and that's why I think there will be an awful lot of changes at Derry in the off-season.
Yeah. Derry finished the season last year with 65 points, Aidan. And with one game to go, they're currently sitting on 55. So there's a 10 points difference there. I know that the pitch has been mentioned and the surface needs to be changed at the Brandy, but there's a lot more other telling factors than just a pitch here. And I suppose when the season is done, even if Derry won the cup, there's going to be a lot to size up here and how Derry are going to move forward.
They are, and I think the one thing that'll count against them will be particularly with Shamrock Rovers. And we all know, look, the importance of Europe. Years ago when I started watching football, it was all about winning the league or winning the cup and getting that prize money and getting into Europe. Now it's just completely changed. It's about being in Europe and making progress and not just being in Europe. You look at Shamrock Rovers, they got 400 grand for beating Laren last week. They're playing TNS in Tala next week. They should beat them. That's 800 grand. If you factor in the draw against Apoel, that's a million they'll have got from Europe. That's assuming they beat TNS, a million. So that's where the money is, Oisin. And Derry's collapse in Europe this year was catastrophic. Really, that is a huge black mark against the club, against the team, and I think against Rory, when Rory goes in for his end of season review with Philip O'Doherty, I think that's going to be the big question. How did that happen? Shelburne had nearly had a slip up against a team from Gibraltar, but they got through, they got over the line, found a higher opposition the next round. But I think it really is a season of regret for Derry. I think they're going to have to look at a lot of things. I think they're going to have to look at a lot of recruitment. Derry to me has been too, I didn't see any unity of purpose. I think one thing about Stephen Kenny is he recruits a certain way. He kind of recruits a certain type of player a certain way. That could be a player from abroad, an Irish player coming back home. But there's a certain way of a Stephen Kenny player. I don't really see that at Derry at the moment. I think a couple of panic buys in the mid-season, the likes of Wisdom and Davenport and people like that, a couple of players who you just wonder, is there... have they more to give? Have the two McElhennies, have they more to give? Michael Duffy missed a lot of the season through injury, but where will that team, if I'm looking to next season, some parts of the team who are going to challenge because they're finishing strongly, they will tweak their squad, they will pick up, there'll be a bit of movement, there'll be a lot, I think we'll see players leaving Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne Bohemians. St Pat's are in the position to pick up them, they're in the position to pick up players come back from England. St Pat's are going to be strong next year. I think Derry really need a good winter, a very, very strong winter of recruitment, because the squad they have at the moment is not good enough to win the league next year.
Yeah. Well, Shelburne are thinking that they have a squad that's good enough to win the league. They're on the verge of it. They just need one more win to do that. And it'll be under the guidance of a Donegal man, Mark Coyle, who could become the first Donegal player to captain a team to the Premier Division title, which would be a huge honour for the man from the county here. Of course, he represented Finn Harps. Then he moved to Dublin and, became the leader of a team. That would be a huge honour for him.
Huge honor. I think the job that Damien, when you look back on the season, if Shelburne have won as champions, I think the job that Damien Duff has done, I think he's proved he is a very good coach. I mean, Damien is massive for the league. I mean, everybody's talked, people who have no interest in League of Ireland, don't know about Damien Duff. I know that from ourselves and our website. Anything that has anything to do with Damien Duff, the figures are trounce anybody else, Stephen Bradley, with respect to any other manager. There's huge interest in Damien Duff. He's not just a figurehead. He's not just a mouthpiece. What he does, and I think what he's done with someone like Mark, I would have seen Mark Coyle playing for Finn Harps a couple of years ago. If you'd have told me that Mark Coyle would captain Shelburne in Europe and potentially winning a league title, I just wouldn't have seen it. Similarly, Connor Cairns, a lot of those players. When Damien Duff came to Shelburne, I think a lot of people thought it'd be very typical. He'll sign a lot of his mates. Damien Duff has a very good contacts book. He's worked with people like Mourinho. He's worked with people like Brendan Rodgers and people like that, that he will just lean on favours and he will get in a load of players from England. He'll ring Brendan Rodgers and get a load of players over from Celtic. Any of those clubs Damien Duff has worked at. He didn't do that. He took players like Mark Coyle, Paddy Barrett, Connor Cairns, Sean Boyd. He took those players. Sean Boyd was there already, but he took those players and worked them. And you can see that doesn't tolerate low standards. I where we sit in the press box and talk about, we're right behind the touchline. You can see Damien Duff, 10 minutes into a game, he's going nuts. He's running up on the touchline. He's on their back so often. And you feel like saying sometimes, Damien, you're top of the league, you're winning 1-0. You know, give them a break, but he's so driving standards. And I think players like Coyle and Paddy Barrett really have responded to that. I think someone like Mark Coyle just proves that when you have a manager who believes in you, who drives your standards, there's a good player in there. And if you look at their background, Joey O'Brien and Damien Duff, the two people in charge of Shelburne, both played for Ireland, played in the Premier League, littering careers. Damien Duff, two league medals. You wouldn't think that he would go for someone from Burt like Liam Coyle, who was an average League of Ireland, let's be honest. 5 years ago, he was an average League of Ireland player. And Damien Duff has brought, obviously moved to Dublin and full-time training has brought that out of him, but that demanding every single week, and that's why you see with Damien Duff, he's distraught after a defeat or after a poor draw. He's not saying, well, sure, it's a point. He's driving standards. And someone like Mark, so it was a huge honour for Mark and for his family and for the county to potentially have someone from Burt captaining the League of Ireland champions.
Yeah. Is there one more win in them, do you think, on Friday?
I honestly don't know. I think it depends about Chelsea. I mean, I really think about Chelsea. Derry, if Derry, what I saw of Derry last week, I just thought they were quite poor against St Pat's last week. They were full of mistakes. It didn't look like a team. I think it's going to be a strange night. It's not as if the crowd are going to be up for it, because there's nothing really there for Derry. They're looking ahead to the cup final. Rory's looking ahead to the cup final in terms of injuries. It's not as if Shells are walking into a packed Brandywell, who do not want to see Shelburne winning. I think there's a lot of unhappiness among the Derry support at A, Europe, and B, the way the league has panned out. The other side of that is, talking to some colleagues today, sometimes that's when Derry are at their best. Derry are at their best when the pressure's off, when they've nothing to play for. That Derry, if Rory makes three or four changes, brings in a couple of squad players, maybe that could just free them up and they go out with a freedom. They don't have the pressure. The league is gone. I think you could see something strange happening. You know, it's a pity he's not going to risk Hooban, but I think if Hooban and Patrick McElhenney have been carrying injuries the last while, they're not going to be risked. But if they were playing tonight on Friday, maybe they could turn it on. So I can certainly see. I can see a nervousness from Shelburne. The big advantage for this weekend routine is Shamrock Rovers have that experience of getting over the line, of being in Europe, of winning those tricky, you know, an away tie in Europe. They've done all this. Shells haven't really, don't have the experience. Yes, certain players have on an individual basis. Sean Gannon has done it over the years. Various players have, but as a group, to go up to Derry, even that travelling up and getting that, how early do you get there? Do you have your meal up there? Do you change your routine? That's all a test for Damien Duff. They might think they're being smart by going up and getting to Derry at noon, leaving Dublin at 9 and getting there at noon, but players haven't had their normal routine, they haven't had their normal meal. I think it's going to be nervous. I think both games are going to be nervous. I wouldn't bet against something like Porrigammon scoring to put Waterford 1 up, and someone from Derry, well, maybe one of those fringe players, it's a few players that could be the last game, so someone like Adam O'Reilly maybe, but he's been very good in the last couple of weeks. Adam O'Reilly popping up to put Derry 1 up, so possibly after 20 minutes you've got Derry beating Shelburne and Waterford beating Shamrock Rovers. Then we'll see what the two of them are made of, but yeah. I just think the fact that it's in Shelburne's own hands, they just know if they win the league, if they win the game, they win the league. I think Shelburne will go on and do it, but it's going to be nervy.
It will be. Listen, we wait to see how it unfolds. It's going to be captivating. Aidan, thanks for joining us tonight, and indeed for earlier in the season, for your input to the programme as well. It's greatly appreciated, and enjoy the football at the weekend.
Thanks, Oisín. Anytime.
That was Aidan Fitzmaurice of the Sunday Independent in conversation with Highlands' Oisín Kelly. Now we're going to move on to local matters in the soccer scene, and it's a big weekend for Fintown Harps. The Saturday Division 2 side head into the next round of the FAI Junior Cup with the aim of taking out Donegal Premier Division High Flyers Fannagh United at Park Acla on Saturday. Having beaten Swilly Rovers in the previous round, it will be another huge test for Paddy Molloy's Fintown side, who will have their sights set on doing some more giant killing this weekend. Molloy spoke to Highlands' Chris Ashmore a little bit earlier.
Paddy Molloy, manager of Fintown Harps, a huge game for all involved in the club this weekend. You're in the FAI Junior Cup. The opponents, the Donegal League Premier Division champions, Fannagh United, are coming to town. One of the biggest names in Donegal soccer. But in the last round, you beat another big name, Swilly Rovers, former winners of the FAI Junior Cup back in the 60s. These are exciting times for all involved.
Hello, Chris. Aye, sure are. We went down to Swilly that day, and we were going out to unknown, really, because we've never really played Premier teams before. And like, all I asked of the boys was to give it their all, and fair play to them. They've done a great shift, and we came out on top on the day. Like, great result for us, and gave us a lot of belief and a lot of confidence going forward, you know.
So, Paddy, beating Swilly 2-1 down there, and no doubt in the closing stages you were hanging on, and I'm sure Swilly gave it everything.
Oh, they did. Like, we scored, I think it was in the 79th or 80th minute, the winner. At the time, we didn't know it was a winner, but in fairness, like, Swilly, they pushed everything, you know, forward. But I think that's when we kind of showed our character. We really, really dug deep, you know, and the likes of Logan Conlon and boys, they got really show their fitness, you know, and work massively hard to keep them out, and thank God we did. We got away with the result then, and they end up. It was an amazing result for us at the time, because we didn't really know what to expect when we went down there. So
yeah, now you're third in the Saturday Division 2, so a good enough start to the season. Four games. Your first defeat was last week against Erin Wanderers, who are top of the table with a 100% record.
Nah, that's right, Aaron. We went away to Aaron last week up in the lakeside, up in the Astaturf, and Listen, we played a friendly on Wednesday night on the Aston Turf just to get us used to, because we're not used to playing in Aston. We don't train on it either. We train over Park Acklin. It's a different ball game up there, you know. And listen, not taking anything away from Aaron, they beat us fair and square on the day. It was a last minute goal, actually, 90th minute. Probably a fair enough result for them, because like they had us under the caution the second half by time. But the game itself, now, the first half was very even. Like, we had two very, very good chances to go in front, and it just wasn't our day. But like, at the same time, we were missing a couple of personnel that day too, so I wouldn't be too worried about it. It was happy enough, you know, that, because Aaron are a very good side, like, you know, and they're very hard to beat up up on the lakeside, you know.
And yeah. Fannett United, last week, they had a 5-1 win away to Redcastle in the Ulster Junior Cup. There's no doubt about it. They'll be firm favourites. So what will you be saying to your guys going into this game? I mean, there's no real pressure on you.
No real pressure, no. It's just, like, it'll be something similar to the Swally game. We'll be going out with... Without going out in the field with belief, I know, number one, because if you don't, you're going to get walked over. So, you know, we know we're probably in a different league and class than us. But, you know, on any given day, especially in a cup, you know, you can, there's always surprises. We've already done it against Swally, so nobody was expecting us to beat Swally. And like, I leading up to the game was hearing different predictions of 6-0, 8-0 and all this carry on, you know, and that motivates myself, plus the team as well, like, so, you know, and I'm hearing the same rumours again this week, so, listen, we'll put it all together and hopefully we can click on the day, like, you know, we're on our own patch as well, so, Fannett wouldn't be used to coming up to us, like, we've never played them before at an E level, like, I know they have a second team now as well, but they're not in their division, they're in the third division, so we haven't met each other at all, like, you know, so, that's a unique occasion for us over in Fanting, you know, a small club. We're going 22 years now. We started up in 2002, and I was part of that. I'm still there, so enjoying the crack, and that's kind of one of the reasons I went into the FAI Junior Cup this year, was, you know, to get a chance to meet different teams, because, you know, you're playing the same kind of teams every week in the league, and the Ulster Cup, you kind of always end up meeting the same kind of teams as well, so... I decided we were going to the FAI Cup this year, and we were lucky enough. We got a bye in the first round, and then we got Swally then in the second. So now we have the Premier League champions coming up to Fountain for a game. So I think it was my right choice anyway. So.
Tell us a little bit about the squad and where you draw the players from, sort of how big an area is it?
We have a good scope, like, you know what I mean? But as you know, upper area is very GAA orientated. Like, you know, we've... Neve Connolly has been so successful over the last few years, and majority, like, all the Funtown boys play in with Neve Connolly as well, so that's the majority of our players would be Funtown Glenties based, and then we have a couple of lads there from Letcher McAward, and we have a few boys from Yarnport U, and a couple of guys from Glen Fun, a couple of boys from Glen Swally, so we're kind of in and around that nucleus, you know. We have a great scope of players, but then you have the likes of Cagey and Strand that would take most of that Dunlow area, you know, they would take all them kind of players, you know, so. And then you have St. Catharines is probably our closest club, you know, on that N56, as they call it, so they would take a lot of our drag kind of players from us, like, but listen, we have a good squad. I have 50 players signed, which a lot of people think I'm mad in the head doing that for one team, but I always see it down through the years. You need them all, you know, with different things going on, injuries, holidays, and work commitments, stuff like that. So everybody kind of helps out during the season, you know.
Yeah, must be one of the biggest squads in the country, but at least... do you have a selection headache for this weekend, or have you a fair idea?
Well, I have a brave idea. Like, you know... with the Under-21 Championship on, we'll be missing a few of my players now. Young Mark, who scored against Swally, like, he's heavily involved with Under-21s, and they're playing Terman this weekend, and he'll be a big miss to us, and a few other younger lads there as well. But listen, we'll still have a good strong team out on Saturday at 12 o'clock up in Park Acklin. So.
And tell us, what about, do you have any underage teams?
Yeah, we actually were very successful in underage there for a long time there, but we found it hard then to get just commitment from managers and stuff. Some of the managers were there for a long time, and for different reasons they stepped down, and then we were kind of out of the equation for a year there. But I got the under 8s and 10s going there 2 seasons ago, just, you know, getting friendlies and stuff. But we're back in the league now with an under 12 team. We had our first season there just gone by, and, you know, we've a good wee squad with about 20 to 30 players from, well, we actually have more between, when you count the 10s and 12s, you've probably about 40, 50 kids coming out there, you know, which is great, like, yeah. And they're all enjoying the crack, and now we're hoping to get a 14s on now next season. So it's just, I think the underage is very important, because most of the my squad that we have at the minute, you know, the senior panel, they all have a connection with Fintown from playing underage, and you know what I mean, like, with the soccer, other clubs could be trying to poach a few of my players, but their heart's all in Fintown, so they always come back to play for the yellow and blue, as they say.
Home advantage, you're expecting a decent enough crowd, and they'll get behind you?
We are, surely. All the underage ones are wild hyped up about it. They're all coming to the game, and they say they're taking drums and whatnot with them, so it could be a good crack now. But we're expecting a big crowd. We've advertised well up here locally as well, and different things on Facebook and stuff like that. It'd be nice to see a big crowd, and I always know fans, they have great supporters, so they'll probably travel up to you as well, make a day of it, so...
Just tell us a little bit. I mean, it's one of the most scenic grounds in the county, and you've done a bit of work on it down through the years as well.
Yeah, we're blessed there. Back in 2009, there was a committee put together, Park Ackland Committee, they were called, and they got the original field that was there. They got it all redone and made a great job of it. Fine facility. Like, we're so blessed to have it in the area, you know, and it's, as you say, it's one of the most scenic football fields in the country. Like, a lot of people, strangers, would stop in there and take photographs and stuff like that, you know what I mean? And there's some beautiful photographs online off the field, you know, from the sky and stuff. It's beautiful. And no, we the club actually took over the running off the field about 4 or 5 years ago when the other committee was formed. So we're running the field now, Fintown Harps, and we find it tough, because before we just used to pay rent for it, you know. But listen, we're a small club, but we have a big heart, and we keep fighting, you know, and we're hoping now, we're applying for another grant now to get the actual playing surface redone next year, because that hasn't been done since 2010, apart from the usual stuff, you know, grass seed and stuff like that. So we're hoping to get it redone now next year, and it'll be like a carpet again, like the way it was when it opened. So
finally, Paddy, it's a cup tie. Have you been practicing penalties at all in training?
Something we don't really do, you know, but we might have to add it in, you know, you just never know. But I have some very good penalty takers now. 9 times out of 10, if we get a penalty, we always put them away. So now we're looking forward to it. We're all excited up here, getting the Premier League champions up to Fintown. And I had a chat with Arthur there a couple of weeks ago, and Arthur Lynch, and we were chatting about the fixture, and he thinks it's a unique fixture as well. So, you know, it's all good.
Win, lose or draw, you know, the hope will be that you can follow on from this and, you know, maybe get promotion in the league.
Yeah, well, that's our main ambition. Like, you know, to get back up to Division 1. We got relegated on the last day in the playoff last year from Division 1, and it was kind of harsh on the day. We took it to extra time, and it just wasn't our day, and listen, we were disappointed, but the squad's good but stronger this year now, so we'll be hoping that we'll be able to get promotion. That's our minimum anyway, is to get with it anyway, and everything after that's a bonus, you know.
That was Fintown Harps manager Paddy Molloy speaking to Chris Ashmore on what is a massive weekend for the club. Well, the FAI Junior Cup is taking centre stage on the local soccer scene this week. On Sunday, there are 3 fixtures down for decision in the competition. All these games kick off at 1:30. And the first one I have here, the Inishowen champions Cockhill Celtic are in action against Donegal Premier Division sided Kilmacrenan Celtic. There's an all Donegal Premier Division clash between Letterkenny Rovers and St Catharines. That one is in Killybegs. And there's an Inishowen derby also in the FAI Junior Cup. Aileach host Clonmany Shamrocks. Now, there's also a programme of games in the Donegal Junior Leagues and in Inishowen Football Leagues this weekend. We'll start on Saturday, and in the Glencairn Saturday Division 1, the leaders are Donegal Town. They have no game this weekend, so Kildrum Tigers can go top on their own. Kildrum are away to Remelton Mariners. In the Old Orchard Saturday Division 2, Kilmacrenan Celtic, they play Capri Rovers tomorrow night, Friday. That one gets underway at the Letterkenny Community Centre at 8:15. If Kilmacrenan win, they will go joint top along with Erin Wanderers. In the Finn Travel Saturday Division 3, wins for Bunnaghy and Drumkeen would mean they would go joint top with Fannad. Bunnaghy are away to Kopany Rovers, while Drumkeen United travel to Milford. There is a game on Saturday evening in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division, which usually gets played on Sunday, but there is one fixture on Saturday night. Bunnaghy United, they can go top of the table with a win at home to Rathmullen Celtic. Then we're moving to the action on Sunday in the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1. The two leaders are Donegal Town and Castlefin Celtic. Castlefin travel to play Cranford, while Glenay make the long trip to play Donegal Town. In the Donegal Physiotherapy and Performance Centre Division 2, the leaders are Kerry Keel. They are away to Raphoe Town, while Convoy are second. They are at home to Letterbarrow Celtic. Now, turning to the Inishowen Football League on Sunday in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division, Buncrana Hearts and Karen Donna will look to extend their lead over champions Cockhill Celtic. Buncrana Hearts have a home fixture against Greencastle, while Karen are away to Redcastle. In the HML Plant Hire Division 1, QPS can keep their 100% record alive and go 7 wins from 7 games if they beat Glen Ely Colts. And in the Inishowen Engineering Division 2, there are 8 fixtures down for decision. High-flying Sea Rovers can extend their perfect start with a win away to Moville Reserves, and second-placed Carolmina are away to Clonmany Reserves. Now it is time for a short break. We will be back with more after these.
Highland Sport, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, stocking the ultimate running shoe to take you through winter. The ASICS Gel Cumulus 26 GTX. With waterproof Gore-Tex technology, these shoes will keep your feet dry and cushioned mile after mile.
Welcome back to The Score, and now we're going to move to Gaelic games. And there are 7 Donegal clubs in Ulster Championship action this weekend. With more, we can now join Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, it certainly is a very, very busy weekend for Donegal clubs on the provincial scene. And the action starts on Saturday with a double header involving Inishowen sides at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. First up is the Buncrana Hurlers. They play Balla of Down at 12:30 in the quarterfinals of the Junior Ulster Hurling Club Championship. The second game is on the football front with Niamh Padraig Ishgahin from Muff taking on St. Comham's of Antrim in the quarterfinal of the Junior Provincial Championship. There's a 2:30 throw-in. It's been a massive year for the Niamh Padraig side, who took their first ever championship title a number of weeks ago as they defeated Cairn in the decider to be crowned junior champions. And now they're hoping to have a real crack at Ulster. Daniel McCauley is the manager of Muff, and speaking to me this week, he said that first title success was a special one for his team.
Hi, we enjoyed the week after, Oisin. It was brilliant. The homecoming, the welcome everybody gave us was brilliant. It was an unbelievable feeling for us as a club and as a manager and a hometown manager. It was really, really special.
And this was obviously something that you had planned for and had envisaged from towards the end of last year when you sort of came back as a collective again. So there was a lot of hard work that paid off there, Daniel.
Oh, massive, watching the boys. But when we were beating penalties last year with Mavol, there was a lot of hurt and we wanted to put that right. And so we started back last year at the end of November, watching. And full credit to everybody in the panel. They all bought in what they wanted. They wanted that championship. They wanted to be the first team in the club to bring a senior adult men's title home to Muff. And they got the rewards for all the hard work they put in.
Yeah. Was Ulster in your thoughts at that stage too?
Believe it or not, Oisin, it was. I actually said to the boys at the start of the year, at January there, we were capable of going far in Ulster, boys. Like, we have the talent in the panel. You just have to look at the quality of players. Jonathan Toy, Keenan McColgan, Drew McKinney, Kevin Lynch, Oisin McIntyre, all county quality players. So we did have, Donegal was first, but we also, with our back for minds, thought we're capable of getting a good run together in Ulster.
Yeah. So what's the preparations been like since those celebrations? Did it take you as long to get back into the thick of it again?
And fairness to the boys, Oisin, the Thursday night after the Cairn game, they actually voted themselves. They wanted to come back in for a late session that night because the 21s started the week after. And we've 9 of our panel are under 21. So we'd a first game against Burt the following Saturday. So we came in and had a late session and blew a bit of cobwebs off. And the preparations have been great. Thankfully, with the 21s, they've had 3 games. So a lot of our boys have got game time. And we had a challenge game last weekend against Ahay Aran from Tyrone. So the preparation has been very good.
Yeah, good. Now, I know you did say that you feel you have quality in your side to go all the way in Ulster, but you do have to take stepping stones here because it can be a bit of a minefield as well. So, Ken, what do you know about the Antrim opposition for the weekend, Daniel?
Well, I watched their final. They're very hard-working, dogged side. Oisin, the day of the final, it was really hard to judge. It was really rough. The weather was awful. And but the ground was a good result out. And going by their previous results through the full year, they've won every game they've played this year. So you cannot be complacent. Like, you have to give them that respect. And they have 3 or 4 players within their group who are quality players. Like Young Platchett, the corner forward, he's got a wicked left foot. So it's things that we're going to have to look out for on Saturday.
Yeah, but you're obviously have home advantage and you're coming back to Letterkenny, and the O'Donnell Park is a venue particularly that over the last year or so it seems to suit you okay.
We love O'Donnell Park, Oisin. We were glad when we were asked if we want to go there in McCool Park, because last year we had the playoff victory over Burt, and then the final 4 weeks ago, the boys seem to like the arena, and the pitch is always in top quality. And like you have to give credit to the Unions Club, like they keep everything, it's quality.
Yeah. So finally then, before we wish you all the best in this game, Daniel, what sort of effort, what sort of performance is going to be required now at the weekend?
We're going to have to replicate what we've done a few weeks ago against Cairn Oisin to get over the line. Like, we're going to have to score, or the intensity level is going to have to be high again, and we cannot get complacent. Like, so just repeat what we've done against Cairn and see how we get on.
Yeah, a quick start, you would be happy enough if you got a start in this game, something similar to what you did in the final?
Oh, definitely, Oisin. That's what you'd be looking for. Like, their dream starts, they don't come about too often in big games, but when they do, you've got to make the most of them. So we're hoping we get the same start now on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, listen, make the most of the weekend. The best of luck in your Ulster club game on Saturday in Letterkenny, Daniel.
Thanks very much, Oisin.
That game involving the Muff side starts at 2:30 on a Saturday, and we will have updates from that game with Chris Ashmore here on Highland Saturday Sport. The focus then shifts very much to Hayley Park in Omagh for the doubleheader on Saturday evening, with first round games in the Intermediate and Senior Club Championship involving Donegal winners. Termon are taking on Derry Loughlin, the Tyrone winners, in the Intermediate first round game. That's another big occasion for Termon, who of course are stepping up to the senior ranks after their win against Neve Columba in the Intermediate decider a number of weeks ago at the O'Donnell Park. This, however, is a different challenge for the Termon men. Their manager is Caelan McDade. This week he's been speaking with a Pádraig Hulfordy, and he's very much aware of the threats that Derry Loughlin will bring, but he says that Termon have their own weapons that can get them over the line.
I'm looking forward to it. Look, I suppose our county final was done before the Tyrone one, so we had probably that wee bit of a luxury to go and watch Derry Loughlin versus Moy in the Tyrone final now. So look, there's plenty of threats that we have to nullify for Derry Loughlin, but look, we're looking forward to the challenge now on Saturday evening.
I suppose it's uncharted territory for Termon, but it's not different, as well noted that a lot of those players played in the Ulster club as well, so they'd have that little bit of experience in the minor Ulster club now going into the intermediate, so that's a bit of a benefit.
I suppose from a senior point of view, look, it was 2012 that we last won a senior intermediate there. So first and foremost, we enjoyed the county final, we enjoyed the celebrations. But from a club point of view, I suppose there's been a number of these boys kind of pushed on that time at minor level and reached the Ulster minor final up in St Paul's against, and they eventually lost out to Lavey now. But look, hopefully that stands in good stead to them going into this weekend and having that wee bit of experience. And I'm sure, look, we all know when it comes to Ulster football, there's going to be everything will rise, even the physicality levels and stuff like that. So, as I said, we'll look forward to it and we'll be ready as best we can come Saturday.
you can come through a very tough intermediate championship in Donegal. Derry Laugharne, suppose they're coming into this game as favourites. Notable players, Brian Kennedy at number 8 and Thomas Kearney at full forward, scored a goal in 3 against Des Moines, a real tight intermediate final there in Tyrone. They're going in as favourites for this one, Caelan. Does that tend to your preparations at all?
I'll leave that up to you to name who's favourites and who's not. But just a bit on, like, Derry Laugharne, you name the two boys, obviously Brian Kennedy about the middle. He's a man mountain there, winning kickouts and whatnot. And your boy Thomas Kearney, he scored 31 points over the course of the championship there. But probably a notable thing that we noticed in the county final there, they had eight different scorers. I know Tomás scored 1-3 out of that, but they had eight different scorers with their full back, their cornerback, you know, the two wing backs got in the score sheet. So look, they've kind of threats from all over the pitch, but you know, flip that on our end. You know, we have a couple of big men about the middle and Ryan and Bobby. We have a couple of, you know, potent scorers up front, and the likes of Dara and Enda and Jack Alcorn really came to the fore in the final. So, look, Derry Laugharne have their strengths, and we certainly have our own strengths as well, of course.
Preparations for today, for Saturday's game, going good, Ken?
Going good, yeah. Training away, as I said, we enjoyed probably that first couple of days, but we regrouped and we kind of probably just sat down as a group and had a quick meeting about it. And we just kind of asked where we wanted to go as a group and what the next steps. And obviously there's a process to that. So look, numbers, quality, buy-in, everything has been very good this last 3 weeks or so. So look, happy on that front.
I know you were carrying a few injuries going into the final. Suppose anyone in particular, or have you a full, clean bill of health?
Look, it's good. Every man's training there. Obviously, county final in the last few games now, Cian McMenamin had his injury worries. Look, he's starting to come back into things there now, and just starting to push himself that wee bit more. So hopefully Saturday evening, Cian will be ready.
Healy Park and Oma on Saturday night. Looking forward to under lights. It's going to be a good crowd there.
Look, obviously, the big game, Unions v Airy Lochearn, is on TV and stuff like that. So it's good that we have the doubleheader with the senior game, to be honest. And I'm hoping for a big Donegal support in general for the two clubs. So hopefully both clubs can get the victory now and push on.
There's a 5 o'clock throw-in time for that game at Healy Park in Oma involving Terman, and there'll be full live match commentary here on Highland as from 5 p.m. I'll be joined by Brendan Kilcoyne, and we'll be sitting in the commentary position for the big senior game, which starts at 7:15 as St Eunan's, who won a first title since 2021, are going up against the Canavan Hotshots and Airy Kilcoyne in the main game on Saturday evening. And once again, it will be live here on Highland. It's another big day for St Eunan's, just like Terman. They're hoping to have a crack in Ulster this year. Speaking to Barry Meehan this week, Barry said that the recent championship success for the Letterkenny side was hugely important, and now they want to knock on in the Northern Province.
I think it was very important, Oisin. You know, I suppose the last 2 years, the lads have come very, very close, you know. Fallen to Neve Connell both times, and last year in the semi-final and the year before in the final, you know. So it was a huge game for our boys, the fact that just to get over the line, you know, because it was going to be around their neck again if they didn't do that, you know. So no, it was big for them to get over the line, and suppose as long as we got over the line, it didn't matter how we did it, you know.
Yeah. Well, what's the preparations been like since? Obviously you had a couple of days of celebration, but you had to knuckle down to the hard work again, because there's a big task at hand. What's the prep been like over the last couple of weeks, Barry?
It's been very good, Oisin. Listen, to be honest, after Monday club, they pulled the pin on the Tuesday, and that was it, you know. And most of them were back in the sauna and steam room by Tuesday evening. They were in the gym by Wednesday, and they were back on the pitch on Thursday. And then we had a good weekend then, Saturday and Sunday, and then we had midweek last week, and then a following Saturday and Sunday, you know, and get two sessions this week with the lads being at home for midterm break, with a lot of them being teachers and at the college. So, you know, we're going to have about 8 sessions done in between, you know, which is giving us a real good build-up and a good run into this year's game, you know.
It hasn't happened that often this campaign, Barry, that you've had the opportunity to have them all together as a group, and I suppose the timing of having everybody together, you will hope, will benefit you this weekend?
Hopefully. Listen, I suppose we've been working well all summer, you know, and we try to work it so that lads are getting home for sessions, and when they can't get home, that's grand, they'll work away from home, you know. But it's good to get everybody together, you know. You can work on a few things, because I suppose really we're going into a different type of championship here now in comparison to Donegal. Like, a lot of teams in Donegal set up very much zonally, and with maybe 14, 15 men behind the ball. Don't think that's going to be the case now with Errol Kieran. Like, it's going to be a very different prospect, you know. Probably going to come out and play football more. So listen, that's given us an opportunity to do things in the last couple of weeks, which is good as well.
Yep. Does that give you an opportunity for Unions to play their best style of football, given the players that you have then, Barry? If that is going to be the case at the weekend?
I think so, yeah. I think so. Like, you know, for the players that we have, it gives us... lads that like to open out the legs and like to run at teams, you know. And you know, this is a perfect opportunity for us to test ourselves against teams that are going to come and do the same thing. And like, it's going to be a massive challenge, you know. But the likes of Peter Hart controlling things, pulling the strings on the 40, of the two Canavans inside, you have a very, very strong midfield in Ben McDonald and Joe Goose, like, you know. So listen, we'll have to look after all of that there first of all before we even get to play any of our football. And no doubt they're gonna try and nullify our threats as well. So listen, it'll be interesting and intriguing to see how that there plays out. But hopefully we'll get a chance to, you know, to cut our teeth off them, and likewise they get chance to cut their teeth off us, you know.
Yeah. I know at times you weren't happy and the group wasn't happy with how you played through the Donegal Championship, and even in the final there was spells of where you were really good, and particularly in the last 5 minutes. You're saying yourself, Barry, this is a different style of championship. Do Unions have to go up a couple of levels here, do they?
Oh, we definitely do, Oisín, you know. First of all, which we would have felt was probably our best half of football, best first half of football, was against Niamh Connell in the quarter final, you know. And we didn't match that in the second half. Likewise, against Gidor, we didn't feel we played to our full potential. Against Dunlow came with a very, very different style, you know, than we'd been used to. And it took us a wee while to get the grips of it. And I thought, you know, when we got the grips around midfield at the start of the second half, we were actually, I felt, you know, kind of 15 minutes into the second half, we were in control of that game, and we looked like we were going to run out maybe 5-6 point winners. And that's no disrespect to Dunlow. I thought we were in our blow at that stage, and I thought we were playing really, really well until that penalty call came. But like, our reaction to that there was absolutely superb. And you know, that, as you say, that last 5 minutes, we really turned it up. Now, what we need to do going forward is we need to have that sort of first half that we had against Niamh Connell backed up by a second half that we had against Dunlow. And that's really what we're looking for. You know, if we can back that there up, we'll produce a good performance. But that's the challenge that's in front of us, you know. And suppose whatever other teams bring, as you know, I've said before, we set our own standards of performance. And while we weren't happy with certain aspects of the performances, there's other parts of the performance we're really, really happy with. You know, and suppose it's just about getting that consistency and that cohesion for a full 60, 70 minutes.
St Union's boss Barry Meehan looking ahead to the clash against Errol Kieran on Saturday evening. And just to remind you, we will of course have live commentary from both of those games involving St Union's and Termon. Elsewhere this weekend at provincial level, Burt, the Donegal Senior Hurling Champions for 2024, are taking on Breda from County Down in the quarterfinals of the Ulster Intermediate Club Championship. That game is on Sunday. There's a 2 o'clock start in Park Esler in Newry. And Sean Casey will be watching that game for Highland Radio Sport, and we will have updates from that tie on Sunday. We'll also have updates this weekend as well, finally, from the two ladies fixtures involving Donegal sides. On Saturday, Downings have home advantage against Owen Ruhr Coleraine of Derry in the junior ladies football semi-final, while on Sunday, Termon are on the road as they go to Cavan to play Lurgan. There's a 2 o'clock start time there, and Maureen O'Donnell will be on duty with live regular updates as Donegal clubs look to progress and the respective fixtures this weekend in Ulster. Mark.
Thanks, Oisín. So a big weekend ahead for Donegal clubs in Ulster. One other fixture of note this weekend is the replay of the Derry Intermediate Football Championship final between Fochan Vale and Ballinderry. Those sides played out a draw after extra time last Sunday, and the replayed final will take place at 12 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Now, just to briefly turn our attention to rugby for a moment, there's plenty of action on Saturday. First up in the Ulster Junior Cup Group 3, it is Dromore taking on City of Derry. Dromore are at home in that game. Then in the Junior Shield Group 1, it's Monaghan against Limavady. That one's in Limavady. And in the Forrester Cup, Donegal Town travel to play Coleraine. In Championship 3, Inishowen, they make the trip to Belfast to play Belfast High School former pupils. And Strabane are at home to Larne. Well, that's it for another episode of The Score. Thank you very much for listening. I have been your host, Mark Gallagher. If you missed any of the interviews on tonight's programme, you'll be able to hear them shortly on our website at highlandradio.com. Have a great weekend.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Kids Nastics range for young gymnasts at michaelmurphysports.ie.